happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Ann Northrup.
And I'm Kathy Marino Thomas. Thank you for having me.
Sitting in for the vacationing Andy Hum. I hesitate to say that because he's still working on vacation and helping out with everything we do.
I was going to say, do I get more than 20 emails from him when he's not on vacation?
He's great, and he'll be back next week, and he and I will be doing my farewell show for Gay USA after 30 years.
This is my last show with you, Anne.
Well, you never can tell. We're not predicting the future. But I'll start with the reason I'm leaving the show. I made mistakes last week, so I have a couple of corrections. It's clearly a sign that I've been here long enough. A couple of big ones. I said that New Hampshire Governor Kelly Ayotte had signed an anti-trans bill after vetoing three others, but it turned out she vetoed that one too. So she vetoed four anti-trans bills.
Because they're not anti-trans enough?
Well, I don't think that's it. She did say, bring me a better one, but I think what she means is something more reasonable, but she hasn't defined what it is, so we will continue to wait to see. But my apologies for saying that she had signed this one. She did not. That's correction number one. Correction number two is that I said the legendary writer Lucian Truscott IV was gay. Now, as Andy and I often say, there's nothing wrong with calling someone gay, whether they are or not, but he's not. So my apologies for being mistaken. Lucian Truscott IV is a wonderful, wonderful writer, but not gay. He's, far as I know, satisfied, happy, straight man, and we are great admirers of his. But I apologize for that mistake. I also said that Andy was a big fan of Heartstoppers, and he said, he wrote me a note and said, well, actually, I didn't like the second season that much, so I don't know how I'll feel about the movie. So my advice is for you Heartstopper fans, watch Sex Education. I think it's on Netflix. It's a British series with Gillian Anderson as a mother who's a sex educator and all these high school kids. It's a wonderful series. Have you seen it?
I have not.
Sex Education.
I wrote it down.
Okay. And I also just want to take a minute as I am winding up my tenure on this show to thank the viewers who have sent us so many wonderful funny things, one of which we're going to show this week, and news stories, and have helped support this show with donations. And they've written me some great notes in the last few weeks since I announced I was leaving. One guy came up to me at the drag march a couple of weeks ago. Richard, I'm not going to give his last name, but he handed me a note and a gift, and I was very, very touched and moved. And I just am so thrilled with all the people I've met doing this show, one of whom I'm having lunch with tomorrow.
So nice.
And
I love us as a community.
Yes,
I love
exactly.
Us.
And I just urge you to keep supporting Gay USA because Andy will be here with Kathy and other co-hosts, and the show needs to continue in these horrible days. And
yes, ma'am.
So please keep supporting Gay USA. That's it. All right.
Headlines.
This week's show. Headlines. Pete Hegseth, you may have heard, is pushing testosterone. He's a drug dealer.
I love this story.
meanwhile, women's tennis is going to do genetic testing of all its players. And the Heritage Foundation would like to wipe out all major women's sports.
Stephen Miller and Marco Rubio claim all Democrats are communist enemies of civilization.
Communist enemy. Yeah, it leaves me speechless. Almost.
Anne.
Meanwhile, here's my favorite little, detailed inside story. Trump is going to get richer by selling early access to his tweets. There's a whole book about this. And I knew this was going to happen. He's suing E. Jean Carroll to return the $5 million he's been paying her. But at least he was booed at the World Cup.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Minnesota legislature rejects all 44 anti-trans bills.
Yay. Sad to see that legendary psychologist and author Walt Odets died at age 79.
The Netherlands Health Council endorses trans care for youth.
Yay!
You gave me all the positives.
Just worked out that way. And Barry Manilow, after lung cancer surgery, is back on stage in Las Vegas. Good for Barry.
Good for Barry.
All right, Pete Hegseth, is there no end to his stupidity?
Apparently not. Somebody pour that man a drink.
Well, you know, he's on this manliness kick and war fighters and all this garbage. So he has announced that all troops are going to be tested for testosterone, men and women, because women do have testosterone, too, in much lower levels, but they have an ideal testosterone level. So he's going to test everyone and then offer testosterone treatment to those who want it.
Wait a minute. Is he offering gender-affirming care?
Yes!
I love it. The hypocrisy never fails to shock me.
Well, it's true. The only people who can't get testosterone these days in the military are trans troops.
That's it.
Because he claims that the military can't handle treatment of soldiers who are in the field or whatever. Well, that's exactly what he's offering here.
Of course,
it's insane.
He is.
And if you read the comments by doctors and scientists on this, they will tell you that A, it's useless to test for testosterone because the levels vary day to day, hour to hour. You have to do extensive testing over a period of time, and you're certainly not going to be able to do that with hundreds and thousands of
troops. But what you're asking for is science, Anne. Science. They don't believe in science.
Silly me. No, they just want to shoot them up with testosterone.
Correct.
Well, you know, Hitler gave his troops amphetamines to get them to fight.
Yeah. And so, this makes about as much sense.
Exactly. So that's just insane. So Becca Ballant, the lesbian congresswoman from Vermont, had something to say about this. Let's listen to her.
I've been thinking about this a lot. This is a man who says he doesn't support gender-affirming care. Encouraging men in the military to get more testosterone, hormone replacement therapy, it is gender-affirming care. But I think is indicative of the fact that there are so many people in this administration that have some weird, like, intense, homoerotic feelings towards men while also being incredibly homophobic, and not just homophobic, but, like, hate-mongering, fear-mongering about the LGBT community. So let me be clear. I don't think the homoeroticism is the weird part. The weird part is that they pretend that that's not what it's about. And so Pete Hegseth is like the example of this, like the manly, manly, rugged, macho man. And it's like, I don't know if you know who Tom of Finland is. Tom of Finland, okay? This is a gay male porn that was drawn by a man, and like Pete Hegseth is the embodiment of that. So I feel like they must be looking at that as like their example for what men look like. And in terms of like not promoting women, like we know what this is all about. The military, whether you support the military industrial complex or not, it has always been merit based. The people who are the best of the best rise to the top. And so the fact that he has systematically been keeping down women and people of color gives up the whole game. It's actually not about a merit-based system anymore.
So true. And yes, there is Pete Hegseth in his favorite pose with a Tom of Finland picture. The resemblance is just striking. But the other thing this reminds me of is, do you ever see Dr. Strangelove?
Oh, yes.
And the discussion, the general who was obsessed with bodily fluids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same difference.
Yeah, exactly. Same,
same
stuff.
Difference.
Meanwhile, the Heritage Foundation, which is, as you know, the author of Project 2025, which the administration now brags in a year and a half they have accomplished half of the agenda of Project 2025, and that was a 900-page agenda.
Scary stuff.
Well, here's the Heritage Foundation now. They want women's college sports defunded. They want women not to play hockey or baseball, softball.
No, they want to give us Pilates and yoga classes.
Yoga, yes, and hiking.
But the important thing to note there is it also eliminates the financial opportunities awarded to sports.
No more scholarships.
No more scholarships for women.
Yeah.
They're going to defer to men.
Well, they're trying to funnel women into being trad wives and staying home. Here is a quote from a Heritage Foundation official. If every Nobel Prize winner is a man, that's not a failure. That's a cause for celebration.
In whose world?
I don't even understand how you could reach that conclusion.
I don't think they should all be women. I think they should be people who are qualified to receive the award,
well,
regardless of gender.
As Becca Ballard says, a merit-based system.
Correct.
And then the other thing I wanted to get to was the Women's Tennis Association, which is caving into, where do I have that?
Well, they're going to test, right?
Yes, they are. The Women's Tennis Association has announced, oh, there it is, mandatory testing for a gene, mandatory genetic testing for a gene called SRY. And the deal is that this, if you have this gene attached to something, it's indicative of some male portion of you. It basically picks up intersex people.
Right.
Or people with, who knows. But they want to do mandatory testing. This is not a testing to see if you are, biologically male. It's a test that gives indicators of some anomaly in your physical makeup.
Send them over to Pete Hegseth for some testosterone.
Well, as people have pointed out, there are going to be a lot of women who find out that they're intersex who didn't know it. And this is just egregious and disgusting.
Well, they gave in. That's what it is.
It's
they caved.
Terrible. So this is the reign of the men trying to rule the world.
Badly.
With some, because they can't accomplish it with a merit-based system.
Correct. So they're going to bully and roll over. And I don't look good in a long red cloak, so I'm not going to do that. But
exactly. Now, let's be clear. We are not man haters.
No.
Even though we are happy lesbians, but we do not like men, the men who bully.
That's right.
And try to get rid of women. Those are the ones we don't like. All right. And Stephen Miller and Marco Rubio are not great examples either.
No, they are not. Stephen Miller and Marco Rubio hosted an ominous press event on the resurgence of political terrorism. What that means is, in their mind, that Democratic organizations and activists are terrorists, and they want to defund Democrats.
And all nonprofit organizations
correct.
That are not
oh,
right-wing.
Correct. That's right. Anybody who speaks against the president. I don't know if our viewers can connect the dots. I assume they can, that if you speak against the leader of the country in a country that persecutes you for that, it is not a democracy.
And they have trotted out the old label of communists. They have just picked this out of thin air with absolutely no justification. And, you know, what's wrong with communists? But I'm sure there are nice communists.
Yes,
and,
of course.
But they're saying all leftists, all Democrats essentially, are communists and enemies of civilization.
Recently, the FBI raided the liberal voting rights organization Ohio Organizing Collaborative with battering rams and guns ready.
Yeah.
in response to this idea.
Well, and this is after going into Georgia and grabbing all the voting machines and records and everything.
Yep.
So watch out, because they really are shameless and relentless. Who knows what they have planned for the next 6 months. I'm not happy about it.
Not at all.
No.
All we can do is show up to vote.
Well, and here's the, if they go on like this, this is the logical conclusion of it. George of the Jungle. George Santos has popped up again. Here he is, ready for combat. He has signed up for a Fox TV television show, Special Forces, World's Toughest Test. Do we think he must be getting a lot of testosterone injections. They filmed this show in Malaysia, and George says it changed everything.
So, well, I see that the description of the show says it reveals people for their true selves. That show must be 2 hours long to reveal George Santos's true self. He doesn't even know what it is.
He can't even tell the truth about not playing volleyball.
Oh, gosh.
Meanwhile, Trump wants the $5 million back from E. Jean Carroll. I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
He was not going to rest easy with that.
No, but you know what? Let it go on and on. Hopefully the courts will do what the courts have done all along.
Well, I want her to get the money. She wants to give the money away to good organizations.
I want her to get the money because she deserves it.
And I want her to get the $83 million that she's
imagine
still
imagine what good she'll do with that.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
But he just, this is the perfect example of how he won't give up. But he did show up at the World Cup, and he did get booed when he walked onto the field when the game was over.
How did he think that it just makes me crazy that he thinks that he's going to be welcomed in these places.
I think he thinks he was welcomed. It all sounded like cheering to him.
Touché.
And then there's another pet peeve. This acting attorney general, Todd Blanche, who meets with some of the Epstein survivors after being bullied into it by Congress, and then is reportedly just nothing but condescending and dismissive to them, can't even pretend to listen to them, just treats them like dirt. So, whatever.
Misogyny is ruling. Men behaving badly.
Yeah. All right. And the Trump administration continuing to behave badly. We've told you about Philadelphia, where the George Washington Philadelphia House had these panels that told the truth about slavery, and the administration took them down because they were, too.
They also had a glass floor in that exhibit that showed the layout of Washington's home and where the slaves slept. They removed that. It's gone.
I believe it. Well, now they've restored the panels, but they've all been homogenized.
Yes. I read them this morning. It's pretty sad.
Yeah.
Apparently, they liked being with Washington.
Oh,
they
of
liked
course.
They liked
happy.
Being slaves. They were happy slaves.
Mammies, yes.
Yes.
Well, there's a new lawsuit coming over that. But I'm also fascinated by this business of Trump wanting to sell milliseconds of early access to his tweets on Truth Social, so that investors can get the information and make stock investments.
You know
early.
That I work in finance.
Yeah.
We call this the pump and dump.
Yeah.
There's an actual name for it. And what it means is that you buy these stocks, and then you make everybody think this is this really great thing. And then when the stocks are at their high, you sell your shares. And all the people you talked into it, they're stuck with their shares as the price goes down and down. But you made a profit, and that's called a pump and dump.
Well, one of my favorite authors is a guy named Michael Lewis, who wrote Moneyball about baseball. He wrote The Big Short about the mortgage crisis. And he wrote a book called Flash Boys, A Wall Street Revolt. And it's about a company that literally financed a new cable to carry financial information.
Yeah.
And they built it so it was just slightly shorter than the existing cable so that the information could get to them milliseconds faster. and they could make investments based on having the information before anyone else. It's a fascinating book. All of Michael Lewis's books are fascinating.
My finance advisors would call that a whole lot of things.
Yeah. Well, this is what Trump is now doing. Mm. So
insider trading, pumps and dumps.
Selling insider trading.
Cheating.
All right, let's run down a few other things. We told you that the Daughters of the American Revolution were standing up for their trans members.
Yeah, well, that didn't last too long.
Well,
they might still win it.
They might. Republican representatives have noticed that the DAR has a federal charter. So once again, you have any federal involvement, and they will come after you in this administration.
Yeah, but hopefully those folks will stand strong and fight against that, because I thought what they did was such a great thing. It lasted a week.
Now, you know that women cross-dressed to fight in the American Revolution and the Civil War.
Or to work, even.
Yes, exactly.
They were widows and they had no income because women were supposed to be supported by men. You see how that works out.
Now, the Office of Management and Budget has proposed a takeover of federal funding policies from Congress because they need to get rid of woke and DEI policies.
Yeah.
I could talk about that for hours, but historically, Congress appropriates funds and the administration administers that.
Right.
No, now the administration wants to make all decisions about funding.
They don't get the idea that Congress decides that because the constituents went to their representatives to say what they wanted, which is how a democracy works.
Well, the Republicans have ceded power to the administration, and again, this is the end result. The administration is taking that power.
Well, he's not done with
no
that.
No one's fighting back.
He's not done there because he wants to grant $12 million to groups founded by UK conservatives.
Yep.
Jacob Rees-Mogg and Toby Young, because he likes them.
Yes, the State Department will give these foreign organizations $12
million. $12 million because he likes them.
And the House has passed a bill to undercut Title IX, which is the equal rights title, against sex discrimination, which has been interpreted over the years to include sexual orientation and gender identity non-discrimination. The House new bill takes all that out of it and, you know, goes along with Trump's definition of it's men and women, and that's it.
Well,
and
who said it? Was it the Heritage Foundation that said that they were worried about women's fertility?
Oh, please.
And then things like playing sports cuts down the estrogen. And it's just crazy.
We're going to run out of time in this show. And they've canceled oversight of contractors for discrimination. The administration no longer cares if their contractors discriminate.
That's right. Well, they don't even put their contracts out to bid anymore. He just assigns them to people, whether they're qualified to take care of it or not.
That's right. And, of course, the new State Department funding bills include lots of anti-LGBTQ riders, including no trans care for anyone, even though the courts have now said that's illegal and wrong. Hunter Biden says closeted gay Republicans in D.C. are the biggest problem in America. Who can argue with that?
I can't argue with him.
Yeah.
Well, and Trump is activating the alien terrorist deportation court.
That's us, I'm sure. Rugby players across the country are trying to stand up for trans players. The administration is killing that because they have some oversight of sports organizations. And the same is true of the World Darts Organization.
I was going to say that poor person in the world, like, come on.
Yeah.
Craziness.
All right.
Darts. He's worried about darts.
Yeah. All right. Should we get into politics?
We weren't in politics.
Okay. Well, in fact, here's a segue. Dayton, Ohio. There's a public marker honoring the trans Ruby girls for raising $3 million for charity, but the DOGE cut funds, but The public marker is standing in spite of the administration trying to kill it.
Yeah, they got it in right under the wire is what they said.
And also in Ohio, sorry to say that the Democratic nominee for governor, Amy Acton, wants no boys and girls sports. It's a tight race with Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah, but she's another one. She gave in. She caved. She said it. She caved so that she could win the election. This is how we're winning elections now, by giving this kind of stuff.
Well, pro-trans Democrats have won governorships in New Jersey, Virginia, and Kentucky. So come on, get some guts. All right. In New York, here in New York, we have a first non-binary member of the state legislature.
David Seffert.
Yeah. Won an assembly primary. Actually, he's won the primary, but he's assumed to win the general election.
To take Deborah Glick's seat.
Yeah.
It's interesting to know that Deborah did not endorse him.
We don't know the candidates well enough to know what the details were.
I don't know why she didn't,
but Deborah was the first out member of the legislature, has been there for a long time.
Oh, I know her a long time. Yep. She very instrumental in many of our accomplishments here in New York State. If it wasn't for Deborah.
Yes. Republicans are upset because Cynthia Nixon's been appointed to a state commission on judicial
nominations. Yeah, but what's the funny thing about that, Ann? Come on.
Well, the funny thing is they say she's not a lawyer. Well, the charter for the commission says you must have a couple of non-lawyers on the commission, so get over yourselves.
That's exactly
she's
right.
She's very smart. She's been very involved. All right, where did I go?
Again, they didn't read the rules, so there it is.
My friend Marnie von Wilpert in California, running for Daryl Issa's seat, won the primary against half a dozen opponents. She's just been endorsed by the Human Rights Campaign, finally. Marnie is out bisexual, has a great girlfriend who I've met, and now has breast cancer. She's still sitting on the city council in San Diego. She's running for Congress, and now she has a little breast cancer. I talked to her last week. It's fine. She had a lumpectomy. It's not a major thing. She's in great shape. But
come on,
when do the locusts come?
But if she keeps talking about that on the campaign trail, it'll do her a lot of good.
I hope so. It's certainly done me a lot of good to talk about it.
Yeah.
I applaud her for doing it. And Nancy Pelosi applauded her for doing it, too. It's a good for you, Marty. All right. And, there we have that. And, we've been telling you about the murder of O'Shea Sibley. When was it? A couple of years ago.
Yes.
In the gas station.
In the gas station while they were dancing.
Well, his killer there.
Two decades only.
Dmitry Popov. 20 years in prison.
Because they took the hate crime charge off.
Yeah, they got him for manslaughter, but 20 years is a lot for a young guy. In Alabama, Haley Brooke Terry, who died last year, has been found to be a trans woman, 20 years old. It was a truck crash.
But she was misgendered. That's the key there.
That's why we didn't know.
We continue to misgender folks. And
successful, loved by her family, assistant manager at a McDonald's. Terrible. Schools, out gay superintendent of schools in Manchester Township, New Jersey, has gotten a settlement of $265,000 after being fired for being gay by a very religious school board.
Nothing for the straight ally or the lesbian, though, that
will
also
not
let
yet.
Go.
We hope they'll get something. Do you think Troy Jackson is going to beat Susan Collins in Maine?
You know, everything I've read says that he has a better chance than Graham. Anybody would have had a better chance than Graham.
Yes.
And they said that I read an article the other night that said we might have actually rejuvenated the race for the Democrats by making this change. So I hope so, because Susan Collins really needs to go.
Yeah. United Methodist Church of Oregon and Idaho has canceled their conference in Idaho because it's too anti-gay and trans.
I'm so mixed about that decision because part of me wants to say stay and fight, but I do understand that they want their members to be comfortable. I mean, I can see both sides of that, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you also want to make a statement against Idaho that we're not going to give you our money if this is how you're going to work.
But staying and fighting has its merits. So.
Take your pick. Yeah. Either one. In Minnesota, the legislature defeated 44 proposed anti-trans bills.
Minnesota as a state is my new hero in the Trump life that we are living. They just will not bend, and I love that.
Yeah, me too, especially since my father was from there. I'm half Minnesotan. All right, a few people we've lost. Waldo Detz, incredible writer, Berkeley, died of Alzheimer's, psychologist. He wrote a great book about AIDS survivors' guilt in the 80s. People depressed and acting out of guilt in the shadow of the epidemic, being HIV negative in the age of AIDS. He then later, 20 years later, wrote a book called Out of the Shadows, Reimagining Gay Men's Lives, still about shame. He was controversial because he had pushed harm reduction for HIV prevention when there were debates about oral sex and whether that was safe and whether people should do that without a condom. He was pro no condom for oral sex. He said if you tell people that they have to use a condom for oral sex, which they hate and won't do, then they won't use it for anal sex either. So give them permission to do oral sex without a condom because the risk there is so small. Yeah. And then maybe they'll use a condom for anal sex. But it was a huge, huge debate in the 90s. And he was just a very smart guy.
I remember that debate. I spent many years as an AIDS buddy.
Yeah.
And that was a big, big debate at the time.
Yep.
What to use a condom for, what not to.
Exactly. And how dangerous was it? And then Kathleen Walsh Darcy in Queens was a straight ally, Irish, co-chair with Brendan Fay of the St. Pat's for All parade.
So I want to give my condolences to Brendan Fay right now.
Absolutely. I'm sure that he's missing her like crazy.
Yeah.
She was a great hero working for the LGBTQ community for years.
Yep, and she'd be out there on St. Pat's for All.
Yeah, which was a parade started when the St. Patrick's Day parade in Manhattan would not admit an out LGBTQ contingent. And so Brendan invented this St. Pat's for All parade in Queens. It became enormously successful and popular and drew all sorts of community representatives.
Been to it many times, many times. And I'm glad to see that they're continuing it, even though they now allow them in the general march.
Exactly. Because it's a lot less rigid than the regular march.
Absolutely. And, you know, it should continue. It's something that really brings to light all of the communities.
It's a real community march.
It really is.
It's just people getting out in the street and walking, whereas the
together.
The Manhattan thing is so, you know, regiments and whatever. And in Laguna Beach, California, Bill LaPointe, an 86 therapist, publisher of the Orange County and Long Beach Blade, known as described as brave, brilliant, risk-taking activist, really nice, sweet man. He died, and we'll miss him. And time for a little comic relief.
I was waiting for this for the whole show. Enjoy, everyone.
Sent by a viewer, Lesbians and Chicken Wings.
Lesbians are an elevated form of the human race. Last night, our lesbian neighbors invited us to their house for chicken wings. Now, if I invite you to my house for chicken wings, when you get there, my house is going to smell like burnt grease. You won't be allowed into my kitchen because it's going to look like a crime scene. Audrey and I are probably going to be on the backside of a really healthy argument. And you're just getting chicken wings. But last night when we arrived at our lesbian neighbor's house, we walked in and their house smelled like sandalwood. They had all the food set up in the kitchen. Two types of wings, crispy fries, grilled zucchini strips, real baked beans, street corn, mussels tossed in a white wine sauce, and we had silk pie for dessert. And somehow, they cleaned up while we were there, and we didn't see it happen. And when we left, they gave us wildflower seeds and a succulent. I've never done parting gifts.
Is he crying? That's hilarious.
You would not get a spread like that at my house.
You would get one at mine.
There you go. Not all lesbians are alike, but that was just too fantastic. This guy is not going to get a job at the Heritage Foundation.
No, he's not.
But I love that. Thank you. Thank you, sir. We don't know who you are, but...
We don't care if it's AI or actually happens.
We don't care.
It's fantastic.
It's very
I don't play
real.
Sports, just for the record, but I do cook.
I'm the sports player.
Yes, you are. You
yes,
and my wife.
I have that covered. All right. International news. In Germany...
Oh, my gosh.
There's an out gay member of parliament, Jens Spahn, there he is. He's on the right with his husband. And they decided they wanted a child. And so that is illegal in Germany. You cannot hire a surrogate in Germany. So they went the traditional route and hired a woman in the United States to carry a child for them. Well, because it's illegal in Germany, and he's a member of parliament, people said, wait a minute, you're breaking the law.
Yeah,
how
not only is he a member of parliament, but he supported those
yes,
laws.
Yes, he's a right-winger.
He supported it.
Yes. Opponent of surrogacy.
Rules for thee and not for me. That's what he's going
He's
for.
Surprised at the furious reaction. So he was forced by the president, chancellor, whichever, to resign his party position. He has not yet been forced out of parliament, although I suspect he's on the edge. But he has been forced to step down from his prominent position with the party. He says... Family is most important to me. Really?
His family, but not everybody else's family.
Evidently. It doesn't say anything about him changing
well,
his mind.
Well, you know, because of my background in marriage and family stuff, the first thing that comes to mind is, how is this child going to be accepted there? Like,
well,
how,
he's
how
not
is
the
this,
only one who's done this.
No, but how is, like... How are his parents? Like, I don't see it. Hypocrites. I don't see how they're going to... it just infuriates. How they're going to move through life now when this kid grows up and finds out that your father advocated for the very law that outlawed your creation.
Please. Insanity. All will be forgiven.
Insanity.
Yeah. And all is forgiven in Uganda,
if
where this lesbian couple, Wendy and Denise... had been arrested for kissing in public. There they are kissing in public. In February, they were threatened with prosecution under the anti-homosexuality law. But 23,000 people signed petitions on their behalf, and now they've been freed.
Yeah.
They are no longer
But I'm, I wonder,
in custody.
As you and I talked about this before the show, I wonder if that would have been the case if they were two men.
I do wonder about that. Hundreds of men have been arrested in Uganda under this new anti-homosexuality law. We don't know the outcome for them. And I do think the sort of reverse of what they're feeling about women here, as we described at the top of the show, is that women are not threatening. And therefore, two women kissing is a lot less threatening than
Well, and the
men.
Truth of the matter is, in Uganda, they're not going to get any legal rights. They're not going to be able to live together. They're not going to be able to create a family, not legally anyway, and, you know.
Well, perhaps they should move to Germany.
That's hilarious.
Well,
oh, my
whatever.
Gosh.
And good news from the Netherlands, where the National Health Council has done a 2-year study of gender-affirming care for youth. And they've written a very important report on this, and they say it should absolutely be supported. It is necessary for this population. It should be done carefully, lawfully. It is effective, and it's urgently needed. There should be no more dilly-dallying about this. This is in response to some extent to the CAS report in England, which was done by this woman who was just, you know, doing it off the top of her head, basically, and saying it wasn't good.
She must be J.K. Rowling's neighbor.
They're very close.
I imagine so.
No one, according to the Netherlands, no one regrets having done it. And doing nothing is harmful.
Yeah.
You are harming these kids if you do not support this.
And
so that's great news from the Netherlands.
But, of course, we have internationally two stories of misogyny and, you know, hateful men.
Go ahead.
The first one was these two guys 40 years ago killed a man that they presumed to be gay because he was walking in a neighborhood in their area.
Turns out he wasn't.
He was simply coming home from his beer appreciation club. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Their younger brother, who was 10 at the time of the killing, turned them in 40 years later.
Yep.
The judge threw the book at them and said, "You were not planning to rob just anyone. You were targeting a group in particular, and that was homosexual men. You were not just threatening violence. You were perpetuating it." Give this man his kudos.
Judges.
Amazing. The judges are saving the day these days.
And I think judges have a higher percentage of good outcomes.
Yes.
Not all of them.
No, not all, but
than
a higher percentage,
yeah,
as you said. And then there's the Tate brothers.
Finish off, these brothers got a sentence of 10 and 15 years in prison.
Yeah. Again,
finally,
not enough, but
no.
they did get
something.
Tell us
about the Tate brothers.
God, if it wasn't so scary, I would be amused. Andrew and Tristan Tate, prominent influencers in the so-called manosphere. What is that?
It's terrible.
They were arrested by federal marshals in Miami on this weekend in connection with new criminal charges of rape and sex trafficking. This is the international Epstein situation.
They're just sleazy, horrible human beings who are going around the world exploiting and attacking, raping, and bragging about it, basically.
But it shows that changing a ruling can be dangerous, because in Romania, they had a ruling against them for traveling out of the country, and Romania decided to back down on that ruling. And so they left the country, and they continued on their
spree. Incarcerated in Florida?
In Florida.
Yeah.
To be extradited to the UK, I think.
Okay. Well, let's cleanse our palate
of that
with a little story from Canada. I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember the Little Sisters bookstore in Vancouver, Canada, which in the 1980s was under attack because they were a good progressive bookstore and they carried a lot of LGBT material. Well, the Canadian customs officials were offended by that, and they started seizing all the material that was going to the Little Sisters bookstore from the U.S., tearing pages out of books that had anything resembling LGBTQ content, sexual content, whatever. And there was this huge, huge fight for years over this, and the Little Sisters bookstore ultimately won and was able to import material, because this was perfectly good material. It wasn't offensive. It was absolutely fine.
And they figured it out because that same material was being shipped to other bookstores, and it wasn't destroyed.
Exactly.
And it wasn't held up and all
right.
of that.
Right. Somehow the customs officials had this vendetta against this bookstore. And so now the happy end is that Canada has created this postage stamp in honor of the Little Sisters bookstore, and it's so cute. If only we could use Canadian stamps.
Oh, Canada.
Thank you, Canada.
Thank you, Canada.
Yeah. All right, and AIDS news. Well, Mississippi has failed to use the Affordable Care Act
for coverage of PrEP. Yep.
Yep. And the insurance commissioner doesn't want to use it because he says it supports alternative lifestyles and promiscuity. So with him not using the funds for PrEP, what has happened? New HIV infections,
of course.
Yeah.
Of course, and, you know, not everyone who's promiscuous or alternative uses PrEP, so, you know.
Hey. You know what the definition of promiscuity is that we used to say when we were, Andy and I were going out and doing education in the schools, AIDS education in the 80s and 90s? The definition of promiscuity is one more than I've had.
Goodness.
We would say this to school children around New York City, and they got it. They understood. But we have to tell the commissioner. In Pennsylvania, the legislature, in a bipartisan fashion, is working to decriminalize and destigmatize HIV-positive people having sex because, you know, you can be non-transmissible if you're on the right drugs. And yet people are still being prosecuted for having sex. So Pennsylvania is getting with the program.
That's a good thing.
And we thought we had something going in Congress. Senator Cornyn of Texas, who's been screwed by Trump, who endorsed Ken Paxton. Oh, my God, what a monster. So we thought Cornyn would enjoy his last days in Congress by ignoring Trump. No, no. He threatened to. He threatened to vote against the nominations of Carrie Lake, remember her, to be ambassador to Jamaica.
Oh, my goodness.
And Pennsylvanian Doug Mastriano, who lost a Senate race to... John Fetterman, to be ambassador to Slovakia. So Cornyn said he wasn't going to vote for them unless the administration spent the PEPFAR funds that Congress had appropriated.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect.
So the administration said to him, well, okay, we'll spend some of them. And he voted for Carrie Lake and Doug Mastriano.
Well, I guess a deal's a deal, but they didn't spend all of it, and that's what he should.
They probably spent about a dollar.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, And a new AMFAR study, American Foundation for AIDS Research, found that PEPFAR cuts to programs around the world were even much worse.
Much worse.
Much worse than we had thought.
And lo and behold, global HIV infections up.
People dying up.
People dying up again.
Especially children.
Yep.
So thank you, President Trump. All right.
I hate the idea of using president in a sentence with his name.
Well, there are people who won't use his name at all.
Whoopi Goldberg. She makes me laugh every day with that.
There you go. You're easy.
I'm easy. Don't tell Sheila that.
Entertainment news.
Entertainment news.
Well, The Odyssey with Elliot Page in it, after all that brouhaha,
it's a big hit.
Huge, huge hit.
And I have to go and see it because the only thing I remember about The Odyssey is groaning because I had to read it in school. So I'd really like to, you know.
So you're going to see the movie version.
I am going to see the movie version.
Are you going to see it in IMAX?
I am. Partially because of Elliot Page and the particular
character
that they play.
They're playing, thank you for reminding me of
Sinon. Sinon?
The trickster.
Yeah.
Who gets Troy to accept the Trojan horse.
Yeah, even though in the Odyssey, the original Odyssey, the Trojan horse wasn't actually in it. They just referenced it, as far as I can remember. But I'm interested to see what they did.
Are you saying it was in the Iliad and not
the
Odyssey?
It was in the Iliad, yeah. It was just a mention in the Odyssey. But that's not what I hear they've done with it. and that's all good for me. You know, you
Here's the thing. It's fiction.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The whole thing.
It's fine that they
can do anything.
Do it around it. But I'm interested in seeing it.
It is. Well, Chris Cooper was sitting in your seat last week, and he loves big spectacles. So he was on his way to see it when I saw him last week. So maybe that'll be good.
Little lesson to anyone who co-hosts, watch the show before. Watch the week before.
Yes, at the very least.
It's really important.
Yeah. All right. And, the Whitney Biennial is a big art show annually with hundreds of artists and a very big deal at the Whitney Museum here in New York. And they give out a prize at the end for the... I want to get this right. It's a top prize, the Buxbaum Award, $100,000 to the artist who they most admired.
Oh, I didn't know anything about that. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So the winner is a lesbian artist.
Oh, I love that.
A longtime legendary lesbian artist, not one of the new kids who usually get it, Pat Alesco. There she is with one of her creations called Blow Hard. We have another picture of, there's the whole blowhard.
Okay.
So Pat Alesco is a beloved lesbian artist. That particular piece is from 1995. And she had another little film in the exhibition called Footsie from 1979. She does sculpture, performance art, costumes, film. She's known for her slapstick humor, as you might imagine.
Yeah.
From
yeah. Oh, I know who she is. I didn't know she won the award. That's
yes. But mixed with social critique. So it's, humor and social critique. People were just thrilled that she won this award.
Yeah, because, I am.
Yeah. Good.
I am.
Okay. Well, there you are.
But then again, I'm a big fan of older lesbians.
Yes. Yes. Well, here we are.
That's right. And Barry Manilow.
Barry Manilow had told us last year he had lung cancer. And he had surgery for that. And as someone who has had a brother who died of lung cancer, I'm well aware of the dangers of lung cancer. But I also know lots of people who caught it early and had surgery and survived.
Yeah. Jackie's had a friend who lost her mom to lung cancer rather quickly when they were just children. So,
Barry Manilow not only has survived surgery for lung cancer, but he has... gotten back on stage in Las Vegas with his residency.
Fantastic.
And he did a weekend of shows, and I thought, wow, that's great. I wonder if he's going to do any more. And I looked it up. He's doing like every weekend for the rest of the year. Maybe not every weekend, but he's got a full schedule of Las Vegas weekends of performance at the Westgate. And if you're a Barry Manilow fan and want to go see him, he's there, belting him out.
Well, I'm just happy that he recuperated and he's back to work. I don't know if I consider myself a fan of his music, but...
You're not a fan of Low?
No, I'm not really a fan of Low. But
that
doesn't mean that I don't wish him well.
Absolutely.
And I'm not happy that he's doing well. So.
As with everyone, there are some things that are great, some things that are less appealing or whatever.
Oh, we did the chicken wings. I love that. It was really hilarious.
All right, so now we have one more video for you. There's a straight couple in Detroit, Army veterans, who have been impressed by the LGBTQ community and say that they've been helped by us. And so they decided that they were going to go big for Pride Month. And what they now do is they do a fantastic, huge display on the front of their house of all sorts of rainbow and pride things. And they keep it up all month. They start Memorial Day. They end the 4th of July.
Yeah.
And it's just huge. Governor Wes Moore of Maryland.
I was just going to say, Wes Moore stopped by their house just to see it.
Well, we're not showing that video, but we are showing this couple talk about their pride display in Detroit.
It was pride.
It was pride. It was absolutely pride. Dave and I put up, was it our first year or second year?
I think it was our second year of decoration. And anyway, we were literally out here talking with a neighbor.
Yeah. And a guy pulls up and he says, I think you should take your flag down. Now, mind you, he didn't say anything about the 40-foot display of flowers, but he did say he thought we should take our flag down. And Mandy, it was one of those situations where you can't really, you don't really have the comeback at the tip of your tongue. And so it bothered me all night. I got up the next morning. I was down in the kitchen. I was parking, waiting for the coffee to perk. And I just opened up my phone and said all the things I should have said when that person pulled up in front of the house. I was in my pajamas. I looked like a hot mess. And I went, boink, and posted it. And then went, oh, shit. Because I don't know that we had been even remotely political. Mm-mm. Nothing really.
Yeah.
We were pretty much all just our house account. And the response was amazing. I think Trump coming back into power and the sense that our Pride community was really under threat. So we kind of picked up a little more steam last year. And last year's theme was the first Pride was a riot. And then we just escalated this year, in part because I'm a maximalist, Mandy. And the other part is there's over 520 pieces of anti-LGBTQ legislation floating around our country. If there's a time to get loud and be visible, especially as a straight couple, it's now. It's now. Detroit has been a blessing for us. I tell everybody this. I don't know that I would have the voice I have if I was anywhere else in the world. I feel Detroit has helped me find my voice. I feel very safe being so vocal here. I love this city. It's been amazing. I think where we go from here is we recognize Pride doesn't end in the month of June. It is an all-year ongoing thing. Just because we're not all waving our flags and we will take our decorations down, now is the time when we start to really lean into the real work. And that is legislation and getting people elected to put legislation in place to stop this kind of hate legislation that's floating around.
Amazing.
That is beautiful.
I would certainly say she is a maximalist.
Yes, I think so. That's so beautiful.
It is. And it's beautiful to find allies who really get it.
Yeah.
And who are willing to step up and do that. Because we can't do this on our own.
No, we can't.
Any more than any other oppressed group can do it on their own. We have to all be in this together. And the whole point of the people in power is to divide us.
It is.
And
I want to say to our community that we have to stand together and we have to stand with our trans siblings. We have to be out there. We have to continue to be visible and stand against this. We have to. It's dangerous. I know a lot of people are nervous, but we have to find that courage.
And you have allies out there. And if you speak up, you will find those allies and draw them to you. We don't all have to agree on everything in order to work together.
That's right.
The whole fundamental point is simply to create a world of respect and appreciation for everyone. So with that, we are ending this week. Thank you,
Thank
Kathy.
Thank you so much, Anne. It's been a pleasure to work with you. I look forward to you being a guest host.
Okay. See you next week.